Well, I have to say, you look energized about this. If I had legislative meetings all the time, I wouldn't be so lively.
Well, the flip side of it is this whole thing of the merger between agriculture and forestry.
Good segue.
And there've been some great merger ideas that were just too big or too complicated or too political in the past. But
can you explain again for my listeners?
Yeah, you've got two small departments, agriculture and the Department of Conservation, that take up about 1% of the budget together.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us have this tie that we grow things on private land. We grow trees and we grow things, and we're dealing with things that are owned by people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the conservation. We have the public lands that's owned by the public. So we're dealing with ownership as distinct from, let's say, DEP, that is looking at the public interest in the air and the water, and waste. IFNW, which is dealing with a public good, which is fish and wildlife and stuff like that. So we have a lot in common. We're dealing with things that are rooted, that grow, that have value. And what we call public access, the kind of things people do, the snowmobile trails, the things like that, the state parks. As the governor puts it, why public lands? I'm a conservative, why public lands? Because that's where Maine people get to go to play and recreate.
Mm-hmm.
That's their playground. And we want some parks and public access and low-cost fees and philosophy is, yeah, all this work we're doing on public access and all of these kinds of things is to help Maine people have access to the things that draw people from around the world. And what you don't want is people that live in Maine that, for whatever reason, economically or geographically or whatever, they can't get access. So we share that with agriculture. And you look at in Washington, the Department of Agriculture includes the Forest Service.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the University of Maine, College of Natural Sciences, and it includes forestry, includes conservation, includes agriculture.
Because they're all one piece.
They're all one piece.
Mm-hmm.
You fly over Aroostook County, and you look at these square and funny-shaped green fields, and they're all about 200 to 500 feet, and they're where the carbonate soils are. And some of them are dark green and grow taller, and they're called tree farms.
Mm-hmm.
And the silviculture, and the next one, same size, same shape, same soil, is a potato field.
Yep, that's how our land is.
So,
yep.
Now, if you go to the western part of Maine, in the Great Maine, that part of the Great Maine Woods, or down east, there isn't as much agriculture. The soil is different, and you've got what we call this natural vegetation, where you've got mixed age and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't lend itself to intensive silviculture. It doesn't lend itself to tree farms. It doesn't lend itself to growing everything at one speed and fertilizing it and pre-commercially cutting it and all that, because it's a different soil. It's a different economic kind of system. And you can make money or preserve things in a different way. And so we're saying that all deals with the agriculture. I mean, a tree farm really, what's an orchard? Who oversees maple sugar orchards? LURC is then to decide whether or not you needed a subdivision permit to lease a sugar orchard. That was the big issue up in Jackman this last month or two. And, just like LURC was asked on whether or not a person on a rural dirt road in northern Maine had a right in the management zone to put out a sign that says paintball Saturday morning. And you're kind of saying to yourself, this is nuts. This is just plain nuts. But you still got to do it. You can't make it go away.
Right.
You've got to make your list better, or you've got to have more flexibility, or you've got to have permit by rule. There was an article in the paper on entomologists working for agriculture that were trying to get people more informed about insect diseases that are invading from outside. That's exactly what the Department of Conservation is doing. We've got entomologists that are doing it. We need to team up.
Okay. Stop duplicating the
process. Dave Rourke is a soil scientist. LURC basically said we don't have enough information on soils, and in the next building, 100 feet away, is Dave Rourke, who is the state soil scientist, who works with them on permits. But you say, wow, if what he was doing is putting together the maps for the state. But it's not just for the state. What I want to do is make sure we know where the mineral wealth is, we know where the water systems are, we know where the aquifers are, we know where the gravel is, we know where the vegetation is, we know where the ecological areas are, we know where the places of such intrinsic value, nobody in their right mind would ever go near them because they're so precious to all of us. We know where all that is. But instead of saying, all right, then we're going to plan, my attitude is turn that around and go out and say the people of Millinocket should plan, or the snowmobile club should plan, or Northern Maine Development Corporation should plan, or you know, the town of Greenville should plan. And then they're planning, working with us, that relieves us of trying to do everything. We're always short of people. We don't have enough planners. And so we said we need more budget, more planning. And my attitude is, no, if we've got good information and make it usable, we
can
leverage. People
right.
can do that. Not entirely, but people
right.
can do it. And that's kind of the philosophy of the LePage administration is it's conservative. Mm-hmm. And basically, you don't believe in what I call statewide, top-down control planning, where you get all the information, you come up with what's best, and then you try to educate people. Mm-hmm. You turn around and say, let's get the best information in the world and provide it to people, and then they say, we'll make decisions with that. And so a town will make decisions, a landowner will make decisions, an environmental group will make decisions with that information, and then the political process brings it together and you build a state strategic plan. So the merger really is this idea that the governor's convinced that Maine can really turn the corner and become a real engine for growth in a 21st century natural resource economy, an agrarian economy that's been what's caused Maine to grow for hundreds of years, which is a three-legged milking stool where you've got forestry, you've got agriculture, and you've got what we call a broad definition of conservation, which ranges everywhere from preservation all the way to ecotourism and stuff like that. And those three elements, and that's what we want to bring together in the merger. Now, people, a dairy farmer will say, gee, we've had our small Department of Agriculture. You know, we want to be sure we don't lose our presence. The forest industry is, gee, we've got a commissioner that's involved in forestry in this past. We don't want him to get diluted, you know. Agriculture saying we don't want Walter Whitcomb to, because he's so good in agriculture that he gets diluted too. So there are concerns like that, but most people I've talked to say, but long-term, it makes sense. It gives them the critical mass. They work together. They're dealing with those kinds of issues that really relate with people, whether it's land ownership or people activities
right.
and stuff. And so the idea is that you'd have a department of, you know, agriculture, forestry, conservation and forestry. And the legislature's already decided that makes a lot of sense because they have an ACF committee. So we'd have a department that relates, just like the Department of Education and the Joint Committee on Education, we'd have an ACF committee, and it would be a department of ACF.
So are two guys going to lose their leadership roles, or you?
We're both Whitcomb. My mother's a Whitcomb, and Walter's the head of the Commission of Agriculture, Whitcomb, and his family went into dairy farming, and my family went into forestry. He went into Waldo County, and I went into Hancock County. And so the way Whitcomb solved these problems is, you know, he gets a pitchfork, I get a chainsaw. We got behind the outhouse, and we duke it out. But that's another way of saying is we get along very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
We see have a lot in common, our departments do. The other little thing that's part of the merger indirectly is there's another bill that's going to be moving part of state planning over into this new department. And what it does is the state planning people that deal with land use in organized towns, if it moves over the way it's planned, that would mean that our LURC planner, land use planners, and the organized town planners would all be on the same floor in the same building. They'd operate under different statutes, they'd be guided differently. One group's
but you're not running all over town.
One group's dealing with municipalities, but you've got a common database.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing over what's called coastal studies, this big federal program. It's huge amounts of inventory and information that's coming in. Half of it's in the Department of Conservation today, half of it's in state planning, bringing it over. The whole concept of land for Maine's future. They're talking about bringing that over, so we'd have that as an independent entity. Why? Because we're dealing with all these land issues. You know, we've got 30 scientists that are working on. We've got, you know, ecologists, we've got entomologists, we've got geologists, we've got hydrologists, we've got silviculturalists, and let's get them together, not so they can come up with some giant plan, but so they can provide really good common sense information, a database that's not political, it's just good, solid, applied science, so that a person like yourself, a person, you know, down east, Sunrise, Economic Development Corporation down east, the Rangeley folks with the Rangeley plan can do that kind of stuff. And that's why we just think it just plain makes common sense.
So that is also in process?
Yeah, and the bill's coming up next week for hearing.
Okay, and once again, if my listeners wanted to get involved, or I How would they do that?
Absolutely. The best way is to go right either to their local legislator, or you get involved with the two leaders who have strong ties to agriculture and forestry
and
education.
They are.
And that is Roger Sherman, mm-hmm. Senator Sherman, and Peter Edgecombe. They're both the chairs of this, and they're very, very involved. And again, special interest groups, whether you're involved in SWOM, whether you're in the Forest Products Council, whether you're involved with the Nature Conservancy. I mean, all of those groups are involved, so that if you've got a special interest group you're involved with, have an interest, call them up, and they'll get you on their mailing list. They're keeping track of all of this stuff. They'll give you a report. If you're just generally interested, or if you have a special niche interest that you want to pursue, all of those kinds of entities are represented and go to the hearings and speak on your behalf. And of course, we're always interested. I'm wide open. Love to hear from listeners that are listening.
And how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can certainly email me at bill.beardsley@maine.gov.
Okay.
Maine spelled out. Or they can write to Bill Beardsley, Commissioner of the Department of Conservation. I can't remember our pouch number, but maybe I've got it. Augusta, Maine.
Okay.
You know how to get hold of
me. I was going to say, I will not give out your cell phone number on the internet.
But it's really great, and as you can tell, I get pumped and excited.
Stop smiling. Well, Bill, thank you very much. I, of course, will be calling you again. I hesitate to do it often because I know you're busy.
Oh, well. So, I'm up to Jackman tomorrow. And that's one of the things we're doing at LURC already is they're having their LURC hearing and meeting in Jackman tomorrow.
Where the land in...
Yes, and they're making decisions and stuff, but instead of doing it in Augusta, in Bangor, where they often do, they're holding their meetings out in different parts
nice.
Of the state.
Great.
Well, good.
Thank you very much, Bill, and I hope you all have enjoyed this discussion with Bill Beardsley, and I hope you're listening the next time we discuss what's important to us north of Bangor.